Hey, everybody, this is Joe. Before we get going with the show, I want to tell you that we did have some technical difficulties with this interview with Mama Mary. You're going to love the interview anyways. I tried to edit the glitches out, but it just didn't work. So, unfortunately, we're just going to have to put up with it. But there's only a few. And I think you're really going to love this interview. So, let's get into it. Thank you for tuning in this week. And let's get on with the show. Welcome to 222 Paranormal Podcast. It's your host, Jen and Joe.
That guy right there.
Yeah.
Hi. How's everybody doing?
Yeah, you doing good? Good week?
It's
good week? Busy?
It's
same old.
It's like a roller coaster. It's highs and lows and highs and lows. But today's a high because the sun is shining.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful out. We have a very special guest, which is great. One of our dear friends to the show is on today.
Yep, we have Mary Bassett, or Mama Mary, as we like to call her.
And if for our listeners don't know that, Mary is a professional channeler and psychic medium. She is also a professional hypnosis regression worker who works with ET experiencers, as well as MUFON through hypnosis, regression therapy. Now, she's been doing this professionally for over 10 years and travels all over for psychic fairs, special events, paracons, speaking events. She does home parties, gallery readings. She gives speaking and channeled psychic readings as well. And she has a direct connect with the spiritual energies, entities, and loved ones, interdimensional beings within all spirit realms. She also is able to connect and channel through automatic writing, which Joe and I have talked about on the show, and you guys probably seen it on some of the ghost shows and such. She has been doing regression work for over a year now and is close to over 100 channels, channelings,
yeah,
I guess you would say.
100 sittings with people.
Yeah. So she's studied at the quantum healing method of regression, as well as studied with some infamous regressionists, one lady in particular, Yvonne Smith. And Mary also dedicates her time in assisting others on their path of self-discovery, path of healing, their spiritual journey through channeled mediumship. She does energy work, hypnosis, regressions, like I said before. And, you know, she really dedicates her time to gathering and guiding others into deeper understanding and knowledge of their spiritual meaning and purpose.
And with that, let's bring Mary onto the show.
Yeah, welcome, Mary.
Mama Mary, welcome.
Hi, you guys.
Good
Hi.
To see you again. It's been
Good
a minute.
Good to see you. How are you guys doing?
Doing okay. I'm really liking this warmer weather. I'm glad we're getting out of that winter blah. And now it's time for some sunshine and flowers and, you know.
I don't know. Don't say that too soon. It's supposed to get cold again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll start crying.
I think it's time to move to the Virgin Islands.
Go for it, Joe. You'd fit right in. He's an island
boy. As long
as
I have some cabana boys that bring you drinks.
Yeah. Well, you know, they have four seasons there. Summer, 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 and summer.
Oh.
Yeah.
And hurricane season. So Joe and I, we went to the on vacation last month, and we get there, and the first day we get there, it was like a monsoon. It was so crazy. There was no power. We couldn't see, like, the edges of the road. Joe was sick.
Mm-hmm.
He was so sick, he didn't even know if he was going to go on the trip. And then it was, like, thundering and lightning like I've never seen before. I'm like, oh, I was crying. Joe's back at the condo, passed out. The next day, it was fine. It was great.
Yeah. Clear skies.
Sunshine, roses. No.
Well, it wasn't a bad omen then.
No.
Yeah, but I literally almost canceled, you know, said I'm not going because I was so sick. And Jen and them guys went for dinner, and we were literally in the cloud because we were on top of the mountain. And you couldn't see 5 feet in front of you, and they're driving in it. It was like,
yeah, You know, there's just times where you just know you have some protectors or guardian angels or whatever people want to call it, you know, spirit guides or whatever, on your side when you're on the side of a mountain. You cannot see 2 feet in front of you and you're trying to drive.
Oh, that's unnerving.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. I wasn't driving. I was just panicking. That's all I was doing. What's new with you? What's going on? I see you've been at some conventions lately.
Just working all the time and doing conventions. Super glad that, you know, paranormal season's back in swing. I think last week we did Potterglass 5. Joe was there. Mm-hmm. And it just felt so good to get back into seeing all the people and doing readings again. Mm-hmm. I do readings during the winter and quite a few, and the regression work. Mm-hmm. But it's just something about going to a show and reading complete strangers, making mm-hmm. new friends, new connections, and just knowing that there's a whole summer ahead
of
cool things.
That's awesome. You know? For our listeners, can you explain what regression is?
Yeah, regression work, it's kind of like hypnosis. Mm-hmm. And so I'll separate it from, it's not the kind of hypnosis that you do when somebody wants to quit smoking or lose weight. Been asked to do that, and mm-hmm. I won't do that work. Mm-hmm. So typically I do regression work for people who have PTSD, who are victims of crime, and they actually want to recall what happened to that crime. I've done those kind.
Okay.
I work with people who want to regress the past life. Often with that, it's patterns they have in their current life or fears that they just can't get past. Doing a past life regression mm-hmm. really helps them see why they have those fears and then remove them. And then I also work with ET experiencers. So people who feel like they've been taken or abducted, mm-hmm. I will move them through that experience through a deep trance so they can actually see what happened. And with each regression after the experience, the subconscious, and the subconscious itself, what actually happened. And that's where you get some really cool answers of things that you've had fear over, no matter what it was. Mm-hmm. You get your real answers, and then you can move forward to the healing. And basically, it's just like a guided meditation. And then you go into hypnosis, and then as I keep taking you, I take you deeper and deeper until it's a trance-like state where it's literally you're there but not there. I've done regression work with people who had creeped them out when they listened back to the recording and they're like, that was me, but I don't remember saying any of that.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And then, so that's how it works. Some people who say they're, some people who, like for our show Voices, the you need to figure out how to get me deeper. And I'm like, you went deep. You went deep into trance.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't believe me. And then he listened back to the show and how the panelists were replying to his regression. He messaged me after that. He's like, I don't remember any of that. I'm like, you didn't listen to your recording. I told you were going deep. So it depends on the person. But regression work is such a good way for healing and to get answers and just release fear mm-hmm. that holds you back.
And does that typically work in one session, or is it something that you have to really like do multiple times to be able to write real, like you said, go deep?
Well, it depends on the person. Typically I have found every person I've regressed has come back at least once. You can get a lot of healing work done mm-hmm. with one regression, especially with like a past life regression, because you can get deep into, like when you tap into that higher self, I always ask, okay, where are they holding in their body that connection to the past? And we start removing it.
Oh,
and it's like a subliminal message, right? So when they wake up, they're still healing mm-hmm. themselves after they wake up. Now with ET experiencers, most of them come back several times. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some that I've worked with over 10 times. Recently, one last weekend, it was her second time back. And she expressed that how much healing she had done from that first regression. Mm-hmm. And then more things started popping up and she started remembering things or more. So typically that's how it happens is they get a specific answer and then more things start to come up, but then they want to explore that. So quite often it comes in a lot of sessions, but it's not necessarily, it's not necessary unless they absolutely want it. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So when, you know, somebody is wanting to do this, are they, do you feel like they know that they've had these, like, I'll just say experience with the experiencers. Do they know that this has happened to them, or are they just like have this something in them and they don't understand it and they're just looking for answers, or are they aware that this has already happened?
It's a little bit of both. You know, I've worked with lifelong experiencers, and they literally have like three journals they bring with them of everything that's happened, and they log and keep track of. Mm-hmm. And then there's some who, so there was a girl who had a dream, and in this dream, it's reoccurring dreams ever since she was a little girl, right? And so in her dream, she remembers waking up with this ET being choking her, and she's lived in fear to the point where she didn't want to go to sleep. Mm. And through the regression, she actually discovered that the being wasn't trying to choke her. He was trying to wake her up to work with her spiritually. Uh-huh. And then discovered that there was a long history of him being a father-like being to her. And her biggest fear, the reason she came in originally, was her daughter. Her daughter was 3 years old, and she was starting to have the same kind of dreams, except for of scary animals that were talking to her. Hmm. So that's the cool thing about regression, is when we go in, we can have a conversation with ET. We did. And we laid down the rules that said, hey, if you're going to come to the daughter, because they're all connected by genes, that you need to show her something that's friendly and nice so she's not scared.
Yeah.
And now that daughter still had dreams of fairies.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Instead of scary animals. Mm-hmm. Yes. So with her, she, you know, it was just a dream for her. Hmm. Other people, they have lifelong experiences that they remember physically. But I feel like with ET, the more and more I do it, I'm getting less and less of the people who want to regress over physical encounters, mm-hmm. and it's more consciousness encounters. I feel like as humans, we're evolving so that we can connect more quickly to other dimensional creatures and beings.
On a psychic level. Saying
we're all psychic.
Well, I know, but
we all have those gifts.
On a psychic level, instead of having them physically come in the room, and that, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they connect more consciously. My contact with ET has all been psychically. It's been more visions.
Okay.
Where all of a sudden I was laying in bed, and then I'm on their ship and I'm talking to them.
Hmm.
I was technically, I wasn't physically there.
Yeah.
It was more like consciousness, like astral travel.
Yeah. Mm. So interesting. That's the whole concept of abductions and stuff like that is so amazing, because like you mentioned about, it's intergenerational, to where they would come for the family, and you find out the parents have been abducted for so long, and then the person you're talking to, and then their kids. And it's almost like they're assigned a ET to take care of them. And it's the same one for years. And I've also heard where, like you mentioned about the kids seeing different animals and stuff like that. A lot of times too, I've heard where kids will say, well, this strange clown comes in my room and dances and stuff like that. And they almost make it so unbelievable that the parents say, oh, you're just making that up, and it kind of protects that ET or whatever from being found out that they're, mm-hmm. you know, actually doing something. Because if they came in as an ET, the kid would freak out, for one thing. You know, it's having something fun and whimsical. It's something that kind of protects them from being so scared, but it also is so outrageous, it makes it so that the parents don't believe them, and they can keep doing mm-hmm. it without the parents knowing. You know, it's so interesting, because I have never had that kind of experience, and I've never actually seen, you know, a UFO or anything, but hearing people that have been abducted for years, you know, it almost sounds like it's unbelievable that they're making everything up, but to me, it's made that way so that people don't, you know, I don't know how to put it, but they don't tell them to stop or whatever, you know what I mean? Or the parents won't stay in the room because it's so outrageous. Yo, you're just making that up, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm endless babbling.
No, it does. Very often ET will give overlays to people. Owls is a big one.
Yeah.
That ET uses to cover what their appearance is. But yeah, I think one of the big reasons why it is generational is I have a lot of different theories, but I feel like we've all been seeded onto this planet. We've all been created. And I don't think it's necessarily by God. I think we're all from God's source. But so I feel like we're one big science experiment.
Okay.
And the reason why they follow families is because genetically it's a piece of that species and they're following them to make sure they're okay.
Yeah.
And when they take them, they're usually running tests, blood work, exams, other things to see that they're physically fit and healthy to make sure they're surviving on the planet. Quite often I've seen through regression work, the people who have had that much contact usually have asthma, forms of autism, all sorts of different little ailments where it's almost like they're alien themselves, so they don't quite fit in this atmosphere, so they have a struggle being in the atmosphere.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is it more men or women that are experiencing this or coming to regarding this?
I would say both. Huh? It's even. Mm. I wouldn't say there's more than the men might take them a little bit longer to come for regression, only because women are more open to it, more open to that emotional side. But I would have to say the amount's equal for me.
And typically, is this happening throughout their lifetime, or is this just happen like for a short span, like maybe up until a certain age, and then it stops?
So far, most of them, it's a lifetime. They remember from being a young child and having experiences all the way up. And to the point where some of these experiencers get so connected and used to having the experiencers or experiences that when they stop, they feel lonely.
Oh, that's weird.
Like they're missing a piece of their family.
Do you think that this has been, okay, I may be going way out here, but, you know, we talk about soul families. Do you think that I don't want to call them aliens, but do you think that they were abducted in a different life also? Or do you think it's too far apart to where, because I know that when we pass away, our souls go somewhere. We don't, you know, particularly know where, but if they do become another humans in that, do you think that their soul would be followed by that alien, I guess you want to say?
I believe so. I just did another regression I did last weekend. When I tapped into the subconscious part, one of the questions was, you know, how many times has she been abducted? And it said many times, even in her past life, she was.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking.
To the point where, like, in her past life, she was an actual Palladian. And then she came down to Earth to do work as a light worker. But many, many past lives she had contact.
Okay.
So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because it brings to mind, a lot of people say, well, you know, reincarnation and all that, but there's too many souls where compared to how many humans there are. And, you know, it could go either way. It could be where the soul is in a certain place for a while until it's their turn to come in, or they're actually, their soul is in another being on another planet. You know, it could be either way. I've heard both.
And I've even done regression work where, and this is a gentleman I work with often. One of his latest ones was where he was actually an ET being who goes into a pod, and that pod moves into a consciousness of somebody on Earth.
Oh.
So that's a whole nother concept.
Yeah.
So like where souls come from, that comes to how ETs work with humans mm-hmm. here on Earth.
Have you ever?
Now, I'll tell you.
Go ahead.
I'll tell you one of my weird experiences. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so mine started off as a dream. And then all of a sudden I was standing on my front porch and I could see a craft fly over my neighbor's house, land right in the front yard. And I see this little gray being, he's walking up the steps. Now I'm excited because mm-hmm. I'm all in. I'm like, are you going to take me? Because I was ready. I was ready to go. And all of a sudden he sits me down and his mouth's not moving. He says, no, it's time for you to remember why you came here. Mm-hmm. And then he put his left hand on top of my head. And then I woke up. Now, before I had this vision, the whole night I was wide awake. And I don't know if you've ever received downloads, but your head goes really crazy. Mm-hmm. Like my whole top of my head all night was vibrating, lots of pressure. My whole body was vibrating. And then all of a sudden I went into this vision. Now, the key to this little story is, he pointed after he touched my head to the sky, to a constellation. So the next day, I don't know if you guys had that little star app where like you pull it up and you point your phone and it shows you where the constellations mm-hmm.
yeah.
are.
Mm-hmm.
I did that. I stood on my front porch where I was standing and I looked and the constellation was Orion. Now this is where it gets really good. A couple of weeks after that, I didn't tell anybody about this dream. I kept it to myself for like 6 months. I'm doing a regression with this woman. And one of her questions was, why do I always feel alone? It doesn't even matter how many family members I have around me, I feel alone. And so we're in the middle of that. And I finally asked that question and a Palladian being comes through and is actually answering the question. You can always tell this because the voice changes. It's not their voice anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the being says, well, because she's not from here. And I said, okay, where is she from? And it answered the same place you are. And I'm like, okay, so mm-hmm. let's test this one out.
Yeah.
Because I've told nobody mm-hmm. this story. And I said, okay, where am I from? And there was like a long pause. And all of a sudden she opened up her eyes, looked right at me and said, Orion.
Oh my gosh.
Freaked me out.
Freaky deaky. Like,
great validation.
Yeah.
But like, my whole body went to chills. I was like, I don't know if I should get her out of this regression so I can get out of this room. But yeah, but for me, my experiences just started probably, I think, back in 2019.
Okay.
So it's like, it's different for everybody. I think mm-hmm. the more the universe starts to wake up and our vibrations are raising and we're moving into that 5D, that the more people are waking up to that concept. You know, 2023 was the year of the experiencer. That's why you're seeing weather balloons that they're saying were possibly UFOs. And you started hearing about it more. And the government started saying, yeah, they're real.
Mm-hmm.
So that people's minds are going to start to open up even more. And I think there's a lot of people out there who might chalk off a dream that could have been an experience. Mm-hmm. They might just say, oh, it's a dream. But it was more than likely an experience.
Yeah. Dreams are so strange. I mean, and there's so many different theories in that, you know, we travel out of our bodies, we astral project, we do everything, you know, and different, like, oh yeah, my mind just went blank. Ain't that great? Premonition dreams mm-hmm. and stuff like that. You know, and I'm telling you, I have some weird dreams, weird dreams.
That runs in our family, though.
But the thing is, a lot of the dreams that I have happen in the exact same places, and I know I've never been there that I know of, and it's like you see the same place over and over, but it's different situations, you know. Or I'll dream about the strangest things, and in my dream I'm in like Home Depot, but I know it's not Home Depot, you know, stuff like that. And I actually listened to some stuff today about dreams, and I'm trying to learn more about dreams and how, you know, and everybody has their own interpretation of them, but it's just mm-hmm. so strange that your brain, and you probably know a heck of a lot more than I do about this, but your brain can actually make all this stuff and make a complete story as if you're there. And maybe we are. We don't know. You know, maybe we do astral project during our dreams. But if I'm astral projecting in my dreams, I'm going to some weird places. I know that.
Do you ever write them down?
No. Now, the dreams about Jackie, I do. You know, my best friend Jackie. I don't know if you know that story or not, but I do about her. But a lot of the dreams I don't write down. I should, and I should have a dream journal.
Everybody should.
Yeah, but when I'm not half awake, when I'm fully awake, you should see my writing. I can imagine what it'd be like if I just woke up and tried to write.
Put a recorder by your bed, you know, when it's fresh in your mind and you get up and
there
just start talking.
You know what I did one night?
I don't want to know.
I've got my new night vision camera for ghost hunting, so I put it in the room and videotaped myself sleeping. I must flop over like 1,000 times at night.
I do too. Go off. It's crazy, though. You know, my dreams are always very, the ones that I remember are very sci-fi. Hmm. They have like very sci-fi type elements to them. I don't know. It's, dreams are just so bizarre because sometimes you feel like you could direct your dreams. And then other times it's just like, why am I dreaming the most random things? Mm-hmm. And you're like here, but it's not here. And, you know, you look at yourself and you're like in your perfect image, you know, mm-hmm. and then you wake up and you're like, oh, I'm so chubby. Come on now. I love it.
I'll tell you my first alien dream I ever had.
Yes. Right.
It was a long time ago, like maybe like 2011. But I woke up in bed and it wasn't a bed that I was used to. It was in some trailer. And you know the really hot black guy from Criminal Minds?
Yes. Shamar Moore.
Yeah.
He kissed me on this cheek. Do. I never washed this cheek again.
And then the guy that plays Thor.
Mm-hmm.
They walked into my room with their shirts off. Right.
I like in this dream. Ready.
And I said to him, what are you guys doing here? You're too hot to be in my room. And they said, well, we're actually aliens. You need to be aware that all hot people are aliens. And soon, we're going to come to Earth, and it's going to be your job to make everybody like us.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and then I woke up. That's it. But the next day, I was watching Men in Black 3 with my kids, where the other guy are walking down the stairs, and they pass some models, and then Will says, whoever, he goes, no, I never knew that all the hot people were aliens. There you go.
So how do you feel about like all of these conspiracy theories that, you know, some of the higher ups and elites or politicians or movie stars are actually reptiles or some form of non-human being, I guess you would say.
I would believe some of it. Have you ever looked at Putin?
Mm-mm.
He looks like a reptilian to me.
Yeah.
Who is
that? You get a chance, compare the
Vladimir Putin.
Pictures.
Oh.
Yep.
He's very strange. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think there's a mixture of different species here on Earth. I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's, you know, a conspiracy theory as to they're out to get us and take over the world type thing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's negative energies out there that want to keep fear, mm-hmm. and there's positive energies trying to bring in love.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what, you know, dimension it's coming from. It mm-hmm. still happens. We see it every day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or they could just be here for the fun of it or just to be here. You never know.
Yep.
I know we were at Michigan UFO Contact one year, and one of the speakers there came up to our table and was talking to us. And she's like, you know, there's a reptilian here. We're like, oh, really? Show me, please. And she's like, no. They only unglamour themselves to me. And she swears that there was a reptilian there.
I don't know.
Never know. Yeah, never know.
There's probably several.
I probably she dated said that, some.
She says that they actually go to the conventions to see, you know, what people think.
Hmm.
Who knows?
Well, Mama Mary, next time we're at a convention, you and I are going to walk around and see who's...
who's the aliens?
It's got some green skin under that makeup.
Go up their eyeballs and go, open their eyes and go, look, let's see.
They're flashing their eyes with a flashlight.
Uh-huh.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Now, just speaking of...
everybody out.
Yeah.
Just for fun, like, you know, you've done a ton of conventions. We've done a ton of conventions. Have you ever maybe encountered something at a convention that you really didn't tell people about or see anything odd or strange that maybe followed some people there or were tied to the location? You ever had any weird experiences?
Well, I'll give you the quickest one I can think of. So at last year's UFO Con, mm-hmm. I did a live regression. And with this gentleman, I know he works with a reptilian. And through that regression, I knew that reptilian had come through. Mm-hmm. And all I had to do was ask the right questions that I would have brought him all the way completely through. I just did it. Only because there's people who have a fear of reptilian. Mm-hmm. But just like any kind of species, whether it's human or not, there's good and there's bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
But after I knew he was there, throughout my regression, people started getting up and leaving. Mm-hmm. And at first I was like, shit, what am I doing wrong? Like, yeah. I was starting to get like a complex.
Mm-hmm.
Later, and their heads started sitting in that room, and they started smiling. Like when I was sitting on the panel, they started asking me questions.
Yeah.
Like, could you smell that? And I know why they were smelling it, because there was something there.
Hmm. Interesting.
I just didn't call it out. And then when I had all the people, like five people left the room because it was too intense for them to sit through that regression for the energy that was in there.
Hmm.
So that's the thing for me. Like I knew something was there. Mm-hmm. I just didn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Have they, have any of these non-human entities or beings ever tried to stop you from doing a regression? Or got in the way of it? Like it didn't want it to happen?
I don't think it necessarily will get in the way of it. There'll be some that I regress where there'll be interference with the recording. And I know it's some kind of interference because my voice will sound perfectly fine and clear, but the other person's voice will break up.
Oh,
that's interesting.
I don't think it's necessarily trying to block it. It's just what's coming through with them. There'll be times where the subconscious will try block it. If the person's not ready for the answer, mm-hmm. I'll get a no. I'll just get a hard, fast no.
Oh, okay.
That they're not ready for that information. But as far as blocking it, not so much. I've had experiences with leftover beings per se. The Archons, they tend to be a really negative group that feeds off of people's energy.
Okay.
I worked with one gentleman and he released them, but they didn't go away out of my she shed. So the next person I was regressed that was a lifelong experiencer that had a lot of experience with that.
Mm-hmm.
When I tapped into the subconscious, he's like, I just want you to be aware that there's two Archons here.
Mm.
And they came from somebody else from a previous regression.
Oh, wow.
So then you're going to need to block them so they don't come in and try to attach to somebody.
Would you?
So I've had that where that kind of interference.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you like banish them like we do like a spirit or a negative entity? Would you do something like that?
I usually put up that white light perimeter of protection and close the portal.
Oh, okay.
It was sort of like a portal that was opened and never got shut, but I didn't know the portal I got was opened.
Does that happen a lot?
I haven't had any more issues.
Oh, okay.
But does that happen a lot that people just open portals and just leave them open? I mean, like, I get that people go to, you know, ghost hunt and they go to haunted locations, but is this like a thing that is like an issue? They open them up and they're...
I think people are very capable of opening portals, and it's not so much they open it up and they just didn't shut it. A lot of people aren't even aware that they've opened it up.
Mm-hmm. But
they're either working with something they don't know enough about, mm-hmm. or they just have high spiritual gifts that they don't know what to do with them, and then they naturally open them.
Does using equipment open them, or is it just like somebody's intent?
Usually for me, it's intent.
Okay.
Intent and energy. So if somebody has like major spiritual gifts and they don't realize it, being angry, that could open a portal. Being emotionally distraught.
That's my whole life.
Well, you're screwed.
I know, yeah. Right?
Just kidding. I'm a
53-year-old woman going through menopause. I'm angry all the time.
No, it's, yeah, me too. But really, it's as simple to close a portal. Mm. And really, you know a portal was there if you have, you can feel it. You can feel the energy if you walk through it, for one. But if all of a sudden your house is quiet and it's not being quiet anymore, then something was open. You know, a Ouija board could be a portal. Mm-hmm. A pendulum could be a portal. It's just all about your intent and how you're using it and what you do with it.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was just on a show two nights ago, and a guy asked me about Ouija boards and all that. And I'm like, I never really use them, but I know about them. And he didn't even, like, I was talking, saying, well, you know, the talking board's been around for thousands of years. And then he's like, what's a talking board? I said, well, it's a Ouija board. I'm trying to, you know, explain to him. And he didn't even understand. And, you know, he asked me, he's like, well, why is it always negative stuff that comes out of it? And I said, I don't think it's just negative. I mean, all of our equipment we use the same way as a Ouija board. We ask the spirits to communicate through it and stuff like that. And like I told him, I think it's just intent. And I think that the Ouija boards have a bad rap because people want to speak more of the negative out of the Ouija board, you know, or they think that they're trying to communicate with their grandmother or whatever, but it has that negative connotation to it, to where it might pull stuff like that out. But, you know, even that, and something that just popped in my mind too, I wonder if anybody's ever used a talking board to try to communicate with aliens.
I'm sure they have.
I'm sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they have. I remember I had just gotten a REN pod and turned it on and just to see what would happen. And it started to Morse code on me.
Oh,
really?
I thought that was the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
Like, it went on for a while. I even like downloaded an app to see if I could figure out what the Morse code was. Still couldn't. But I felt my first instinct on that was ET coming through.
Yeah.
Because I've never heard just Morse code.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the beeping goes off, but not like straight weird beeps.
Yeah.
Never get it to do it again.
Huh.
That's interesting, though. I never thought to use like Morse code in spirit communication. You never know. I mean, there's a lot of people been in the military. They might understand that. It's kind of a universal language, I would think.
You think so? But I mean, like you said, though, how would we interpret it?
Yeah.
Unless we wrote it down as we're doing it. I don't know.
That's the tricky part.
Yeah.
And then after we figure it out and we read it back, it says, get more snacks. You know what I mean?
So. I love the snacks. That's the most important aspect of a convention, a ghost hunt, or anything else, is having the proper snacks.
Yes.
It is.
And sometimes you have to sneak them in. We've been to conventions where we were threatened to get our... get escorted out by their security guards because we brought in a cooler. So, yeah.
I'm like, I'm a chubby girl. I like to eat.
Yeah.
I like to eat. That was the same. Talk about ghosts.
That was the same convention that Dalen Spratt showed up to, and the girl tried to force him to buy a ticket. And he's like, you paid me to be here. And she's like, who are you? And he's like, I'm one of the speakers. You paid me to be here.
She goes, which one? He goes, the black one.
The black one.
Yeah.
Nice.
He's so funny. He's doing a lot of communications with the spirits. I don't know if you watch his channel. He's going into graveyards and talking with the spirit a lot. He's getting a lot of interaction. Some of it's pretty scary.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you've been doing this a long time, right? And mm-hmm. you know, 20 years, like, because I know you're 20 years old, but you look it. And what surprises you anymore? Like, is there anything that, you know, that you're still like, wow, this is kind of blowing my mind about this whole field? Is there anything like new that, you know, maybe you just like learned or experienced lately?
I don't know. Nothing really surprises me. I think that's because I'm like, I can go with the fun. It don't really freak me out too much.
Mm-hmm.
I think the things that really surprise me the most is when I'm doing my readings, especially when I get a doubter in front of me and you get that breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
So like, those are the things that surprise me. So my fun one with this last weekend was a woman sat down and I could tell that like there's some stuff she's like, I don't really connect with that. And so one of the things was, and I told her, I said, you're going to get a message from a girl. She's younger than you. And it's only going to be her that can give you this. And the news is going to be really good. And it's not something you're waiting for. It's not something that you get in the mail. It's going to be a message for her. I almost thought like maybe she's going to find out from a grandchild that they were pregnant or something.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, no, she was, my daughter just applied for a major job and she's going to find out if she's going to get it or not. I said, well, it's your daughter and she's going to get the job. And so we started laying out the cards, and this cracked me up is, you know, I'm laying out the cards and she's like, do you think the universe thinks I'm stupid sometimes because I don't listen to it? And I started to answer, and all of a sudden, right in front of her, on top of all our cards, a stink bug lands. I'm like, oh. I said, there's your answer. I said, you just got your validation. Look where, look up the spiritual meaning. It's those kind of things that surprise me. Like, when spirit comes through and answers for you,
mm-hmm.
those are the things that I think are really cool mm-hmm. and interesting.
Yeah. The signs and symbols. You've got a little
validation and synchronicity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe and I are real big believers in like signs and symbols, you know,
mm-hmm.
the most probably popular one is seeing a cardinal after somebody passes away as a sign, or a rainbow in the sky or something along that lines. But, you know, or seeing 222 on a license mm-hmm. plate, you know,
or a truck that cuts you off.
Right.
Or...
It's fascinating though, because, you know, it always seems that, I don't want to say when you least expect it or when you most expect it, it happens. And it's just such a great feeling and validation of mm-hmm. seeing that.
Yeah. Most of the times it's when you need it, you don't realize you need it, but it's when you need it. And, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's spirit guides sending that to us or not, but who knows? You know, I mean.
Oh, they are. The spirit's always talking to us. They're always there waiting in the wings to help us.
Yeah.
You know, just like, you know, pay attention to the, because we manifest continuously. We manifest our reality.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize how much so. But you ever pay attention to those little things where, you know, they're thinking that you want a piece of pizza, and then all of a sudden your friend calls you, wants to go out for pizza. That's the universe talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Just the more people would tune into the smaller details, the more they would see it, the more they'd easily manifest all the things that they want.
Yeah.
And let it flow.
Mm-hmm.
Dear universe, please send me Jason Momoa.
Ah, see, there you go.
Or the Toledo version.
I'll take it. I'll take
now
it.
You're gonna see him on TV.
I'd like to see him. Kind of like Shamar Moore. I'll have to send you my picture of me and Shamar Moore.
Yeah, you're gonna have to.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm a big believer in manifestation. I mm-hmm. try it all the time. And I, you know, haven't in a while, but I used to listen to those things that you would listen to before you fall asleep. What's your feelings on those? What do they call them? Subliminal
affirmations.
Affirmations.
Like the ones I make.
And Joe makes them.
You need to listen to.
Oh. there's some validation mm-hmm. to that. Especially when it comes with like the frequency tones, because the whole point of manifestation, be able to manifest, you have to be at that vibrational match. So one of the big things that I do when I'm manifesting, a lot of times what I'll do is I work out first. Mm. And then after that, that's when I manifest each day.
Okay.
But it's like all about drawing that energy down right through your crown chakra, all the way down to your feet, and then pulling it up all the way to your heart chakra, thinking about what you want. And then you think about something you really super love, mm-hmm. and you hold that feeling of love in your heart. Because love is the highest of vibrations, right? Mm-hmm. So once you get that feeling and that knowledge, then you start thinking about what you want while holding that feeling. And you try to do it for 5 minutes, then you put it out into the universe.
Okay.
That, for me, it works really, really well. Feeling joy when you're manifesting what you want, mm-hmm. that's key. Being grateful for the abundance in your life, that's also key. And you can never put it out to the universe and doubt that it's going to happen, because the universe is just going to send it back to you and be like, okay, what do you want me to do with mm-hmm. this? Mm-hmm. Because if you don't believe it, it's not going to happen, because you're not a vibrational match. Mm-hmm.
How do you get past that doubt, though? Because like as humans, I think it's just we always tend to go to like, we want it to happen, it might not happen. You know what I mean? We always mm-hmm. downplay that or I don't want to say self-sabotage, but a little bit mm-hmm. of that.
There is.
How do we get past that?
You practice putting it out there, then forget about it.
Oh, okay.
If you're not thinking about it, you can't doubt it.
True.
So that's what I do, is I put it out there and then I just forget about it. Mm. And then when I see synchronicities showing me that it is manifesting, mm-hmm. I thank the universe for that. Because it's an acknowledgement that you see how spirit's working for you. Mm-hmm. And anything you want done, just call upon spirit. They'll help you.
Yeah. And do they ever get tired of us calling? Because, like, I'll just give you an example. I talk to my dad all the time. Does he ever get, like, tired? Do you think the people on the other side are like, oh, here she goes again. I'm here. I'm still here. You know, because I talk to him 50 times a day, right?
It's a possibility, but I doubt it. I don't know. I've never asked them.
Yeah. You're like, okay, how many times throughout the day can you ask spirit to get you to meet Jason Momoa? No, I'm kidding.
Dad's off hanging out with Bigfoot and you're right? Bugging him.
I know.
Could be.
Yeah.
No, I think spirit, that's what they do. They're on the other mm-hmm. side to help. Like, so I'll give another example. This was probably about a month ago, and in our town back in November, one of like the road truck workers, you know, mm-hmm. the tow trucks, he got out of his vehicle and somebody had crossed the lane and hit and killed him.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh,
so
awful.
We'll go back to a month ago, and I had a woman who I've never read before and started doing a reading, started talking about this young man that's coming through on his messages, mm-hmm. and she starts to cry. So it was the tow truck driver that had gotten hit.
Oh.
So spent a lot of time with her, but the next day I had to drive down to see my daughter in Novi, and I just had this really weird feeling. So you know how sometimes you just get to drive it and you feel off. Mm-hmm. So I started setting protections, you know, then literally, like, out of nowhere, here's her son that has passed away sitting in the seat next to me and telling me, I'll protect you.
Oh.
Just take care of my mom.
Oh, okay. My God. And that's amazing.
There was like three different, and I get chills just thinking about it. And on the way down, there was three different instances where they were extremely close calls.
Wow.
Like, traffic down there is crazy anyway, mm-hmm. but that's just an example that spirit's there to help. And I don't think they ever get tired of us calling to them, because that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
Is help on the other side. He didn't know me, yeah. but he was there to protect me.
Because he knew that connection to his mom with mm-hmm. you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
Now, when, you know, I know there's a lot of people who call on angels for protection. Is it best to go to your spirit guide first, or, you know, is that just another avenue to be able to, you know, have people on the other side? I don't want to say people, but whatever they are, people, spirits, beings, whatever, angels, you know, is it, how do I want to put this? Like, should you be going to your spirit guides first before you, like, say a prayer to, you know, whatever.
Archangel Michael or whoever?
Yeah.
I would say go to whoever you want. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really trusting your intuition and calling upon what you feel like you need for the moment. And the trick with, like, archangels, they're omnipresent, so they belong to everybody. They don't belong to one certain religion. Okay. They belong to everybody. The trick with that, though, is they cannot help you unless you ask for their help.
Oh.
You have to specifically ask for their help. Their help.
Okay.
They might be around you. Mm-hmm. They might be there to try to guide you, but unless you ask for their help, they won't. They can't help you.
Gotcha.
So your guides will. That's the difference. Is your guides will step in and try to intervene on stuff where archangels and angels can't. They need to be asked for help.
Oh, that's interesting.
So it really depends on what kind of assistance you want.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that's cool. Yeah.
Like with Archangel Michael, when, like, there was, like, a time I spent like a week and a half, 2 weeks with, like, a stabbing pain in the back of my shoulder blades. And I think it was at my spirit shop, and I had a guest reader there, and I was bored. So I just opened, like, the middle of the book just to see what I would get. And it said, if somebody's stabbing you in the back, ask Archangel Michael to take his sword of truth and remove that dagger. So I did it just for the heck of it. My back pain went away.
Oh, that's amazing. That's so cool.
Because I asked for his help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, do you think...
He couldn't help until I asked.
Yeah. Now, you say you opened up the book. Was that a pre-planned thing where you knew you were going to open it to that area?
No.
Or you just opened it?
No. I was just bored.
Okay.
And just opened it to read something, and that's what I read. And I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
All right.
Because that makes me wonder if your spirit guides put that in your mind to open to that exact page so that you understood what was going on.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep. They work with you in all shapes or forms.
Yeah.
You know, when you get behind those stupid people that want to do like 45 and a 55, and you really wish they'd get out of your way, I try to remind myself the universe and my guys are just slowing me down on purpose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometimes we don't know what the reason is, but eventually it all makes sense.
When you're 10 minutes late, then all of a sudden you see an accident that happened at the same time you would have been driving through.
Like you did.
Yeah, that happened to me.
Yeah,
I don't, you know, I don't want to say I don't believe in coincidences, but I really think everything is more intentional. Like, you know, you thinking about somebody, you know, and all of a sudden, you like Joe, he hears the certain song on the radio that reminds him of his friend who passed. I don't think that's coincidence. You know, I always think
in that case, I don't think it is.
Yeah. No. It's like they're sending you messages, but not direct messages, you know, like indirect messages, a song or seeing something in particular that reminds you of them or randomly finding a dime in the washing machine or, you know, something along that line.
Yeah.
And, you know, if
I like
you
to call them synchronicities.
Yeah. And if you do, you know, we're always saying, oh, please send us more money. Send us money, you know, send us the lotto numbers, whatever. But you'd be walking down the street and you see a dime or a penny on the ground. You should always pick that up and say, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, because they're putting money in your path. You never, you know.
Yeah. And you don't specifically say, send me a dime, but there it is, you know, like.
Yep. They're sending it.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I love that.
Which could lead to something else, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Because you have that gratitude, and the most important thing is gratitude.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, I talk.
My dad sends me a song.
Yeah.
I think it's by John Mellencamp.
Okay.
So it's a little ditty about Jack and Diane.
Yeah.
And I remember right after he passed away, and the song came on, and it made me think of him, and I said, okay, Dad, if that's you, I want to play that again for me before I get home. And I was only 3 blocks away.
Yeah.
So I pulled my driveway and I hit another channel. The same song came back up.
Oh, my gosh.
Every time that comes up, I think about my dad.
Yeah.
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 You know, everybody has their song. Because, and I think songs are because of the music is the international vibration. Mm-hmm. You know, music is vibration. And that's one reason why I think it is. You know, because you don't say, send me a sign and you get some kind of speech out of the air. It's always music. Mm-hmm. And music gets stuck in your head. You don't get a part of a speech stuck in your head. You get music.
Right.
You ever wake up with a song stuck in your head?
Yes.
All the time.
Yeah. Yep, definitely.
Have you ever, this is totally off the wall, I just thought of, but have you ever laid in bed and just before you fell asleep heard voices? Mm-hmm. Like as if somebody was saying something in the room. I mean, it could be a squirrel outside moving a branch that makes your brain think it's a word or something, but it's like, you know, people say, well, I hear voices. I do.
Yeah.
Just before I fall asleep, I'll hear voices. And I don't know if it's my subconscious. Like I said, it could be a squirrel going on the roof or whatever and just making a sound. But yeah, I've heard, and I know I've talked about it many times, that there's actually a sentence that I've heard. Mm-hmm. And I've asked people, you know, I've asked Native American shamans and even like Barry White Crow. I asked him and he has no clue what it is. He's like, well, just keep searching.
Yeah.
Someday you'll find out.
That's when your body's, your consciousness is slipping into the spiritual realms. Because when we fall asleep, we go, that's why they call it astral traveling, is we go to the fourth dimension. That's where we dream, and that's where other spirit roams. Mm-hmm. So as you drift off to sleep, your consciousness is starting to tap into the spiritual realms. That's why you hear those voices.
Hmm. Yeah.
They're real.
Yeah.
Not because you're crazy.
Well, a little bit.
That's debatable, right? So I always hear music. Like Joe, like we'll be here in Joe's house taping, and I'll hear music either in my headphones or just audibly, and he doesn't hear it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, don't you hear that? He's like, no. And I'm like, ah, it's driving me crazy because that's all I can hear. And it's like, it's almost like there's a, like some kind of wavelength or frequency out there. And I'm just like, I'm hearing rock and roll music and nobody's hearing it. Mm-hmm. Def Leppard.
Jamming now. It's all right.
Yeah. It's cool though. I always think it's really fun to like get in that, you know, in that space right before you fall asleep and see if you can kind of, and you've probably done this, but like, you know, almost direct your dreams. Mm-hmm. Or maybe try to connect with somebody. Like, I don't claim to have any special abilities or gifts or whatever, you know, name that you would use for it. But it's always fun to be just in that right on that cusp of, like, I'm just about to fall asleep, but I'm still conscious. And it's, I'll dabble a little bit.
I've put on.
Yeah.
I listen to YouTube a lot when I go to sleep, different. You know, like ringing bowls and stuff like that helps you sleep. But the one night I'm like, I'm going to try this lucid dreaming thing.
Oh, that's
and I put a lucid dream thing on YouTube and I had some weird dreams. I'm like, I'm not trying that again. I had weirder dreams I normally have. I don't, it's like.
Sounds like it worked then.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, it's, you can use it to learn or work or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I want to sleep. I don't want to work in my dreams. I want to sleep.
Sleep is so precious, though.
That, yeah.
You know, it's just like when you get in that one first or the last hour before your alarm goes off and you're just in that really, really good deep sleep. Oh, man, there's nothing like it. And then the alarm goes off. Oh, 5 more minutes.
That's our life.
I had a lucid dream once and I was outside and I was sitting in a picnic area. All of a sudden, these like men in black started chasing me. Mm-hmm. And so I started running. Then all of a sudden I stopped and I said, wait, this is my dream. I can do whatever I want. So I turned around and I turned them into animals.
Oh,
that's so cool.
The only lucid dream I've ever had.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I've tried it. I'm like, I'm still leery about it. Of course, you know me, I'm leery about like having to get readings done. I've only had 2 done. You've done 1 for me. And then I had someone else. I can't remember who it was. It was a long time ago to do it.
Yeah.
But it's like, For one thing, I'm like, are they reading my mind? Are they reading my mind? Technically, you are, you know, but
they're reading your energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's like when you did my reading a few years ago, it was interesting because everything that you said was pretty much true. You told me to slow down because something's going to happen. And what, about 2 months after that, I had my stroke. You know, I'm like, well, I guess I should have listened to Mary.
Right?
Yeah, I'll teach you.
Yeah.
No, I've had, you know, Mary, you've done a reading for me too. And it was amazing. Like, I really, really enjoyed that. The process that you go through and, you know, you do the, is it automatic writing? Is that what it is? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. And I just thought it's fascinating. You know, mm-hmm. I think everybody, you know, is just so always curious about, you know, what future events are going to happen for them. And do you find that people always ask the same type of questions? Like, is there one question you're like, oh, no, here they go. They're going to ask me for the lottery numbers or something.
I get that sometimes. Mm-hmm. I've had people ask me, how's my team going to do this year? I'm like, I don't know how your team's going to do this year in any shape or form.
Right.
But typically, because with the way I read, I do the automatic writing mm-hmm. and then give them that reading. So, like, they don't ever really ask, you know, specific questions mm-hmm. unless they have questions on what I gave them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. I'll get some who, when they come to my house, they're like, okay, what about my daughter? How's she? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know. Who's your daughter?
Yeah.
They could have one. They could have seven. You don't know.
And it could be a different in the past life, too.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, it's... And, you know, it's funny because when you did mine, I was like, I have no clue what to do. I don't know what to do. And you were like, just sit down. I'll take care of it.
Yes. Yes. Do you ever have any animals come through? Like, you know, somebody comes and, you know, they lost maybe a pet. How do we communicate with animals? Do they speak and, like, English, like we can understand them, or is it more signs and symbols or feelings?
It would be signs and symbols and feelings. Mm. No different when I'm doing my readings with other spirit that comes through. Mm-hmm. It's more of the feelings and what's the thoughts going on in my head. So I'm clear cognizant. I don't necessarily hear spirit.
Okay.
So it's all just what's going on in my head.
Mm. Okay. That's interesting. So is clairvoyant where you hear the words?
Clairvoyant is the psychic sense, I have too. Clairaudient is when you hear them.
I got you.
And I do that too. You know, sometimes you'll get really pushy spirit, and especially women, they'll come through and you'll hear them clearly. But a lot of mine's just all through my thoughts. It took me a long time to get to where I was with my readings because it took me a long time to believe what I was writing wasn't my own thoughts. Mm. That's why, like, I'm a channeler and psychic medium because I get out of my own way and channel spirit.
Okay.
And then give the information.
It's like, how do you get your hand to write fast enough when all that information's coming through?
You know, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're lost.
Oh, say that one more time. Wait.
So, sometimes I don't. Sometimes it gets lost.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Every once in a while I'm in a show and I'll look over at you and you'll be writing along and I'm like, I wonder what she's writing, right? You know, it's not my point to look over and see what you're writing, but it's like, it's just so interesting to me how you do your readings.
It's definitely unique. It's the best, the easiest way for me to like step out of it.
Yeah.
And give the actual message from spirit.
That's cool.
So to let my judgment come in on what I think I'm seeing. If I just write what's going on in my head, that's them talking and that's the real message.
Okay.
And how do you distinguish between your internal voice and a message or another person speaking? Like, does that line get blurred a little bit?
I can tell the difference. Like, so when I'm automatic writing, It's never me. I just get out of my own way.
Mm.
But I can always tell the difference if it's my spirit guides coming through with the message, because they'll rhyme.
Oh.
They'll make rhyme for me.
Okay.
But I can always tell when it's them versus the other person's spirit guides or spirit coming through for them.
Mm-hmm.
It feels different.
Okay.
That's cool.
Yeah, it just still amazes me, because I don't have any psychic abilities or medium abilities. I know everybody says we're all born with them, but I don't have it unlocked. So when I see different psychics or mediums or clairvoyants or whatever, it always amazes me. And I guess I'm kind of a skeptic a little bit, because I've seen so many, but it's sometimes you have someone do something like you're reading with me, and it's like, how is that possible that they got that, that precise on stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, obviously it's the spirit guides guiding you, but
mm-hmm.
as an outside looking in, it blows my mind, and I have seen some bad ones, I mean, we've done this for 8 years. We've talked to a lot of people, and I have seen some that I almost feel like they're hurting people by saying stuff, and in my mind, making it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I guess you just, if you're going to,
you got the one to dig on fear.
Yeah. And I guess you just have to do the reading and understand, but take it and judge it yourself. Don't go with mm-hmm. every single thing that person says, think about it. Okay. Wait a minute. Okay. How did this happen? How did this happen? But the certain ones that I've had, it blew my mind that such on point.
I don't think everybody's, necessarily has ill intention either. Mm-hmm. Like everybody's got to learn, and the more they do it, the better they're going to hone their skills too. Mm-hmm. So even though that person might get a very general reading, that, that person who's doing it is still, trying to convey that message, whether they're 100% spot on or not. I don't think anybody could ever be, 100% mm-hmm. accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But, you got to take out of it what resonates with you.
I think so, yeah.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes very simply, like if it's not a very good vibrational match,
mm-hmm.
some readers won't be able to give the most accurate reading. If yeah. somebody sits down and they really don't want a reading and they're blocking them,
mm-hmm.
you can't read off of them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or it just might be one of them things where today they don't match.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you have a magnet. Sometimes they just go together, and other times they just polar opposites. I don't know. Mary and I have always matched.
Yeah.
Every time we see each other, it's just all love. But we've been in this game for a long time, and it's just wonderful that we have met so many amazing and kind and caring mm-hmm. and just loving people. It's like a family reunion every time we get uh-huh. to run into everybody at the conventions or just wherever, and it's great that we're all have this like-mindedness. We have this positive energy that we can share with everybody, and, being able to bring you on the show and just share some of your knowledge with our listeners, that touches my heart, because it's great that we have these long lasting friendships with people that mm-hmm. we just generally yep. meet at, mm-hmm. At a convention. And it's amazing. It's so nice.
That's one of the things that surprised me when I got into this field is, you think that you're going to get into it and it's going to be like all these weirdos and all, which we are weird, but everybody's been so nice, and everybody wants to talk. Everybody wants, mm-hmm. spread their stories, stuff like that. I knew that, we would run into some strange people, but it's like 1% of the paranormal community is like that.
And but that's okay. Mm-hmm. You get that in any field. Mm-hmm. But I just think it's great that you know, there is so much kindness and family-like feel when we go to these things. There's a lot of different, you know, genres that we go to, but it always feels home when you run into Mary or mm-hmm. Sarah or all of our buds.
It was funny because, you know, the Potographs convention we were just at, I know you were super busy all day, but I was sitting there talking to someone, and someone else would walk up, and we'd open the circle up, and they'd start talking, and then the original person would wander off, and then it's like the conversation just kept on going all day with all these different people. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the reasons why we go to these conventions, because like we said, it's family reunion.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, it's great. Well, Joe, is it?
Yeah, we've came to the end of another hour.
All right.
Time just flies.
It does. It goes so fast when you're having fun.
Mm-hmm. But
it was fun.
Yeah, it was good.
I want to thank you for coming on. I know it's been a long time coming. I've been meaning to ask you for a long time, and finally you were just like, hello.
Yeah.
Asked me to be on the show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Always welcome. Bring us all the stories. We love it.
But yeah, thank you so much. It's been so much fun.
And, no, thank you.
You know, it's. I always enjoy talking to you. I know you're always busy at the convention, so we never get to.
And but, you'll be coming to Toledo soon, I yes. heard.
I know.
Which is great. That's amazing.
Yeah.
We'll have to hang out.
Yeah.
Have some lunch or something.
That's right.
She won't have time.
Yes.
She'll be busy, busy, busy all day. Busy.
Yes, please book your reading with Mary.
Yeah, I have my own gallery table there.
That's great.
At the VIP dinner, yeah.
Oh.
Ooh, VIP.
VIP in the house.
Love it.
Yep, I'll be one of the speakers, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been to the Oliver House?
No.
You'll like love it.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
A lot of spirits, a lot of history. Mm-hmm. One of the things about the place is I know that they're going to have the vendors in the warehouse this year, which is next to it. But if you're standing out in the parking lot and you look over and you see a restaurant that's closed down. It used to be a Frisch's. Probably 200 to 300 yards in front of the parking lot area. Where that Frisch's is used to be an Indian burial mound.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And there was one on this side or that side of the river, and then one on the other side of the river, like straight across from each other. So when you're at the Oliver House, if you stop in the parking lot while you're unloading or whatever, just glance over and you'll see, like I said, 200 to 300 yards away, an old restaurant that's closed up, and just think of that was an Indian burial mound there. And what happened when they bulldozed it towards the Oliver House. But yeah.
Oh, yeah,
you'll love the Oliver House. A lot of spirits there, a lot of history. We were there for the Midwest Parafest a couple years ago, and where they have the speakers this year is the lobby area of the original hotel. And there's two vaults. There's one at ground level, and there's another one up high where a catwalk used to be. We were there one day, and the vault door opened by itself. And it's a vault. There's no vents inside there, nothing. They just use it for storage for the little bar area now. And that door opened by itself, and like 20 of us just stared at it. And we're like, what the heck? So I think you'll get a lot of feelings and maybe, you know, pick up something.
I hope so.
Yeah, we'll have to get your feelings afterwards. Mm-hmm. We'll
I'm gonna
back on the show.
We're not going to be vending there, but I'm going to come down for a little bit. I'm going to stop in at the vendor area. I thought we were going to be out of town, so we didn't get a table there. But...
But we'll represent our hometown, Joe.
That's right.
There you go.
So,
but anyways, thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Yeah, thank you.
Always enjoy talking. Yeah.
And we'll put all Mary's links in the show notes for everybody if anybody wants to get a hold of you and maybe have a private reading or do some regression work.
I'd love to make sure
that they can get a hold of you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you later, Mary.
Yep.
Take care.
Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
And thank you, Mary. And thank you, listener, for tuning in this week. We really appreciate you.
It's always great to have friends on the show and to learn something new. And if you guys want to contact Mary and for one of these regressions or a reading, you know, we'll link her information in the bio.
Yeah, down in the show notes, we'll put everything down there. And we always say, please get up on our website. We have new stuff up there. We have a link now to our Patreon page on the page. Just scroll down to the first page you come to. You'll see it in the corner. And help out any way you can. If you don't have a monetary donation, please share the show with a friend.
Yeah, definitely.
Get the word out there.
Wherever you listen to the show, whether it's on Spotify, iTunes, Apple, iPodcasts, all the different sites, tune in. I don't know if that one's still around or not. But, you know, please, if you are listening, you know, just share it on your social media that you listen to the show. And it's just one way that we can get the show out to everybody and be able to share all of these experiences and great interviews with you guys.
All right. Well, thank you very much for listening this week. And we will talk to you next week.
Have a great day.
Stone cold killer, are you surprised?